Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Eliza Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Mary Jean and Robert show tonight. I am so excited about being here tonight. My name is Mary Brotherton. I am your host. My co-host, or as I called him earlier today, my co-star, is Jean Albertson. And
howdy.
I'm going to let Jean just take over from here. You just wake me up if you need me, Jean.
Okay. All right, Mary. Thanks a lot.
You're
well,
welcome.
Actually, we're really here to hear from our guest, Robert Brost. Robert, how are you doing today?
Better than expected.
Excellent, excellent.
I love that answer.
Well, for our listeners, Robert used to hike in Sedona, Arizona, and said the trees often stopped his hike for important messages. While on a quest to understand unconditional love and forgiveness, Robert set the intent to experience past life wives and the issues in those lives and relationships, which proved fruitful concerning relationships in his lifetime. Well, Robert, if you'd be so kind as to maybe take it from there and tell us a little about your experience.
Sure. The first past life wife that I experienced was in Naples, Florida, and I'm from the Orlando area, but I lived in Sedona for about 3 years recently. Mm-hmm. And but about 30 years ago, I first was introduced to a past life wife. I walked in Alan Oaken, who's a famous astrologer. I walked in a conference just as the conference was starting in Naples, Florida. I was standing at the back of the room looking over the crowd, looking for a seat to grab, and a woman popped up out of the crowd and headed right towards me. And I'm thinking to myself, is she headed my way? And sure enough, she walked up to me and stuck out her hand to shake my hand. And she said, "Hi, I'm your wife."
Huh?
So, in awe, I'm listening to her chatter. And she said, let me get this right. So you've never been married and you have no children. How long are you going to carry that around? And I said, what are we talking about? She said, well, she said, the wooden wagon wheel on our wagon broke and our family went down the mountain.
Wow.
She said, I was the only one that wasn't injured. She said, you were crippled, badly crippled, and our children were killed. She said, how long are you going to carry that around? That was the first of many past life wives recognizing me and introducing themselves.
That's amazing.
After I set the intent for the universe to teach me about forgiveness, not only myself, but other situations in relationships. And I found that this past life wives concept was easier for me to understand how we actually can forgive people that we can feel a lot of love for from other lives. So that was my first introduction to past life wives, and I found that I needed to forgive that situation, which developed out of a wagon wheel breaking and my family going down the mountain.
Pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
Yes. Many lifetimes of being able to forgive for situations that there should be no forgiveness necessary. And yet, things are entangled in karma, and they need to be untangled so that we can have a clear path and clear relationships without baggage. So, sure. The past life issues and understanding of past lives have really helped me in this lifetime with ongoing relationships. I met a woman in the Phoenix airport. I was flying back and forth from Orlando to Sedona, and of course you fly into Phoenix. But I met a woman in the Phoenix airport that was from Sydney, Australia. She had just completed a class, some training, Donna Eden Energy Medicine, and was on her way to Sedona just to do some hiking. And I was on the same shuttle to Sedona where I lived. We were talking briefly, and her name was Frances. She said, do you hike? I want to hike in Sedona. I'm going to Sedona just to hike. And I said, yeah, I hike sometimes twice a day. And she said, let's hike together. And I said, sure. I said, I'm learning how to communicate with trees, and I'm just beginning to be able to hear and see elementals. And she said, I'd like to learn how to communicate with trees. So on our first hike, after having breakfast at a place on 89A coming out of Sedona on the way to Flagstaff, there's a wonderful little Indian Gardens cafe where the hummingbirds actually visit you at your table.
Oh my.
Kind of a neat thing.
After
a quick breakfast, we headed down to Oak Creek, which is just across the street, and started our hike. No sooner did we get into a nice little hike mode and a tree right along the path stopped me. And I said to Francis, I said, here we go. We got a tree that wants to communicate right away. I put my forehead up against the tree, and the tree said clearly, the two of you have been together for a really long time, and you'll be together for a really long time. Now, the puzzling part about that was I just met Francis in the Phoenix airport. Francis lives in Sydney, Australia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
So I stood back and I thought to myself, how am I going to deliver this message? And Francis is saying, what did it say? And I said to Francis, inappropriate for a first date. And Francis said, yeah, Francis said, oh, is this a date? And I said, only if you want it to be. So we continued our hike, and she said, so you're not going to tell me what the tree said? And I said, yow. But anyway, after a little bit of after a little weaseling on Francis' part, I did tell her what the tree said, that we had been together for a long time and we would be together for a really long time. Francis said, I don't doubt that. She said, something about you feels more familiar than my own brothers.
Oh, wow.
So later, Francis and I discovered that we had had at least 5 past lives together.
Holy
really?
And yeah. And some of those past lives were about food and friends. And one particular past life was in France in the 1700s. And we were, it was a cerebral relationship, and we were speaking about moving energy in front of a large group of people. And I was speaking, and she touched my wrist. She was sitting next to me in a formal red gown, and she touched my wrist as a signal to not go where I was ready to go in my speech. So she was censoring me in a speech about moving energy. This is in the 1700s.
Right, yeah. Wow.
So when Frances got back to Australia, to Sydney, she checked with her people and confirmed the past lives that I discovered and discussed with her. She confirmed the exact details and my accuracy of the past lives that I described with her. She said to me, she said, something is incredibly puzzling to my people here in Sydney. And I said, what's that, Francis? She said, no one can understand why we have past lives together and we have no issues to work out. And I said, oh, I mentioned that. She said, you did? And I said, yes. I said, you and I, were mates in the star system Sirius. So we have no issues to work out. She said, oh, I remember you told me that. She said, I had no reference point. I didn't know what you meant. Mm-hmm. Now it makes perfect sense.
That's really cool.
I thought so.
So completely before any human experience ever happened.
Yes. We were mates in another star system.
You don't suppose it gives an indication maybe the humanness is where the problems come from, huh?
Oh, you said that.
Yeah, he went there.
You know?
He went there.
Yeah.
In one of my escapades onto the Hopi Reservation, which is in the center of the Navajo Reservation, mm-hmm. I went to the Hopi Reservation a couple of times with some people that were quite familiar. And one time, in a serendipitous moment, we went to visit a famous artist at his home to view his personal collection within his home. And that particular day, the mesa was blocked off to all public traffic. Only the Hopi were going and coming.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped us at the gates and said, "We're having a special ceremony today that's not open to the public." And Susan said, "Oh, yeah, we're seeing so-and-so and so-and-so with a special invitation to look at his collection." And they said, "Oh, well, you know where he lives then." So we went right on in. After observing this fine collection in the artist's personal pueblo, we walked out of his home into a dancing ceremony that was not open to the public. Susan grabbed a hold of my arm and said, "We can't be here." And I said, "Well, we are." And I said, "But Archangel Michael is appearing to me right now." And she said, "Oh, perfect, because I work with Archangel Michael." And I said,
"Oh, wow."
To Susan, Archangel Michael said to go into your heart and be like a child. And Susan said, I know how to do that." And she said, "And I know you do." So we became in our heart as children.
Hmm.
No one in attendance watching this ceremony was any other than Hopi. There were 42 dancers dancing up the road of the mesa. They were honoring the aliens. And they were dressed as Kachina and aliens. They were dancing up to the master of ceremony, which would be a wise woman, a shaman, an elder. They were dancing up to her, and she was throwing charcoal on their feet as they danced in place in front of her, all 42 of them. So Susan and I are in our heart as children, and I walked right up behind the master of ceremony, throwing the ashes on the feet of the dancer, and she started reading my mind, wondering who I was walking up to the back of her, being in the middle of a ceremony. She spun around and looked me right in the eye, and I could feel her look into my soul.
Wow.
And she froze me in time while she was investigating who I was. She gradually got a bit of a smile on her face, a happy smile, spun around and continued on with the ceremony. And I mentioned to Susan, she believes were aliens checking on the accuracy of the ceremony.
Oh my. That's a good place for us to stop. I'm going to stop real quick, take a 30-second break, but I also want to remind any listeners in our 33 countries, we're up to more countries, Gene.
Yeah.
If they would like to call in and speak with you tonight, Robert, or with me or Gene, just give us a call. The number is 516-418-5651. And if I spoke too fast, go to Blog Talk Radio, find Be Unique, and the phone number is there. We'll be right back, and we'll learn more about what exciting things Robert's been doing.
There is a place between the dark and the light, between the day and the night, where things are shadowy and gray, and we walk there on A Walk in Shadow, Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, Where the Darkness Dwells, on AstronetRadio.com.
I just love Astronet Radio's commercials. They're so weird. They're perfect for us. Okay, Gene, take it away.
Well, I was just fascinated by your story. I'd like you to go ahead and continue. One of the things I want to point out, though, you made it a point to say that you became as children, you know. And I know that a lot of times that's really the important thing for me. That's when I really kind of quit being a child, is when I kind of started getting lost as a human. And I'm wondering if maybe that was part of it. I mean, maybe the shaman, could she have even seen without the children being you at that point? I don't know.
Well, when Susan put her hand in mine after we went into our heart, her hand felt like a 5-year-old's hand, a little teeny hand. It felt like a child's hand. I looked around at everyone in the crowd watching the sacred ceremony, the sacred dance ceremony. I looked around and no one in the crowd noticed us. Now I'm dressed in a tweed jacket with a felt hat, not a cowboy hat, a felt hat, a fedora, a pair of cowboy boots, and a little bit on the dressy side, and so was Susan. But we were certainly not dressed like American Indians.
Sure.
No one noticed us, and I'm sure it was because we were in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, after we observed all 42 dancers having ashes sprinkled on their feet, we decided we were honored, and we were headed towards the car. And I felt a powerful essence coming down off of the third mesa. And I said to Susan, I said, go get the car. I'm feeling something incredibly powerful coming down the mountain. And I said, I don't understand what it is. And she said, I can feel that too. She says, it's scary. And I said, it's very powerful. And I said, why don't you get the car? I'll stay here for a moment and see if I can understand what's happening. She rushed off to get the car. An elder approached me with a small grocery bag, a little paper bag that you might get your grocery, an unmarked paper bag.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked right up to me and said, I understand that you have been purchasing kachina dolls from specific personal artists, meaning I wasn't buying them out of the shops. I was looking for the actual carver, painter of kachina dolls. And I said, yes, I am. So he opens up the bag and pulls out a kachina butterfly maiden and another kachina that represent abundance. And he said, you might be interested in these. And I looked at them and they were fabulous. And he was gifting me two kachina dolls as Susan pulled up in the car.
Oh my.
He recognized Susan and said, oh, would the two of you like to join me up on the third mesa where only Hopi are ever allowed? Would you like to join me on the third mesa and watch the ceremony again from the rooftops? And we said, certainly. So we were we were honored by watching the ceremony for the second time, a ceremony that's not open to the public.
That's amazing.
So we had a lot to talk about on our ride back to Sedona. It was quite fun.
All because you opened up your heart and your mind.
I was surprised that Susan knew how to get into her heart, but then not really. When Archangel Michael appeared to me and I said to her, Archangel Michael just appeared to me, that comforted her immediately because she said, oh, I work with Archangel Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he says, go into your heart. She was terrified that we were in the middle of a ceremony that we were not permitted to be.
Right.
So that was exciting.
That's very, very cool.
And certainly most people would not be permitted. Absolutely. Wow.
Back to past lives.
Yes.
I was fortunate to experience a past life with my grandmother in this lifetime. I had a short little blip. I saw myself as 11 or 12 year old Native American youth, and I was selected to keep a watch as my older buddies borrowed two horses in the dark of the night. Now what they were doing, we weren't actually stealing the horses because they were our tribe, but we certainly weren't allowed to take horses at night to go off on our own little escapades. So because I was intuitive at age 11 and 12, my buddies used me to stand guard because I would intuitively know if somebody's coming or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing guard as my buddies rode away on the horses. I performed a quick heel on one of my buddies' injured shoulder. Out of the corner of my eye, I spot a female tribe elder, a shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did not feel her or detect her.
Mm-mm.
So I could only believe that she was not a threat to what we were doing, because I believe that I would have felt it and known it. I was standing watch. I was standing guard. She walked up to me, and she was indifferent about the horses. The horses had no meaning to her.
Wow.
And only commented about being selfish with my healing abilities.
Ooh.
She said, I see you healing your friends and buddies. She said, if you continue your selfishness, it will be the death of you. Huh. 40 years later, it was the death of me. The wise female elder shaman was my grandmother in this lifetime.
Wow.
So I took a class from Claudette McKeeseldeck in Sedona in 2013 before I moved to Sedona. She was teaching reversing. Reversing is a process that they've been using in India for many, many years. It's a woman does it in her home, and they line up down the street, down the block, around the block, and up the street again, waiting to get in to see her. She takes a client that maybe lost an arm in an accident. She takes the client back before the accident, alters the accident, and the client actually grows an arm back.
Wow.
It's called reversing. Now, the concept felt familiar to me when I heard it. And when I did a past life concerning the concept of reversing, I saw myself in a tent, and deceased American Indians were dragged into the tent, and I would perform a type of reversing, and they would walk out of the tent to go back on the battle, to go back on the battlefield. Now, I did this enough times that it got me in trouble.
In trouble?
Oh yeah. If next week you're in a battle, mm-hmm, and you run into the same Indian that you killed last week, and there he is again, ooh, if that happens enough times, something funny is going on and you'll be sought out. And that did occur. That did occur. I knew they were coming for me, and I hid a knife in my back pants, and I was unwilling to defend myself, but I would not heal an American, a decorated American soldier. I would not heal them, and they killed me for it. So 40 years later, my selfishness with my healing abilities cost me my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, how long ago was that?
The American Indian Wars.
Okay.
Now,
so like 150 years.
Yeah, probably. Now, I ran into, I was invited to a bit of a New Age church in Gotha, which is in the Orlando area, by a woman that I was dating. She said, oh, they do healing and blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, yeah, let's go. Sounds fun. So one of the ceremonies that I was participating in, you reach over above your head and grab another person's hands, and you make a tunnel. And everybody walks through the tunnel, and you're delivering a healing. There was a large young man, around 7 foot tall, was walking through this, and he slaps me, punches me kind of in the chest as he's going through. And he says to me, I've never been in this church before. He slaps me and says, oh, there you are. And after the ceremony, I walked up to him and he said, oh, man, he says, you've healed me so many times. He said, several times I was killed. And he said, you healed me. He said, I recognized you when you walked into the room.
Wow.
From those American Indian lifetimes.
Yeah. But now, did you have any recollection of him at all? Or, I mean, you met a lot of people, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Once I got next to him and we started talking, you could feel the
the familiarness?
Yeah, sure. But for me, it was more of a numbers game.
Really?
I'm reversing and healing deceased American Indians, one after another, after another, after another, after another, so they can get on the battlefield. I'm not having a personal relationship with them necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
sure. this particular man, young man, just recognized me because I had either brought him back to life a couple of times or had healed him or whatever I had done. He knew and recognized me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Fascinating.
I was at a conference, another conference in Naples, and there was a woman in the back of the audience that was dressed and looked like Daisy Duke, that show of the Dukes of Hazzard. There was a gal in the audience. Yeah. She wore a miniskirt, cowboy boots, and blonde braids. And I was thinking to myself, I got to get back there and see what this woman's all about. But I knew so many people there, and I didn't get back there, and I rushed off to the bathroom before the conference got started again. And she came up behind me and said, startled me, and said, "You look like the man I'm in love with." I turn around, and it's Daisy Duke. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not sure. Does life get any better than this? being a single male, you know, it's like, what is this all about? on a beach in Sanibel Island, where Daisy Duke lived, her name was Anna. She wrote in the sand, "Love." And while she was putting the final touches on the word, on the letter E of love, she turned into a 90-year-old shaman.
Oh, my.
Right before my eyes. And when she did, several dozen spirits appeared out of the dunes and honored her in a brief little salute ceremony. And then they went back into the dunes, into the ethers, except for one spirit that went down the beach. And Anna turned back into Anna and walked up to me. I was resting on a picnic table after a long bike ride, and she said, "What just happened here?" And we chatted, and our stories were identical. And she said, "But who went down the beach?" And I said, "That was our son." And she said, "Wow, can we go that way?" And I said, "Yes, let's do." We walked a bit down the beach, and then we were overcome by emotions and sat down on the beach for a long cry. And she said that I had held against her my death and the death of our son. We had gone hunting and were attacked and eaten by a grizzly.
Oh my.
We never returned from a hunt. The tribe later found out, they could piece things together, that both of us were attacked and eaten by a grizzly bear. Excuse me. Anna said that I had blamed her and held that against her. And I said, how would I do that? And she said, "I don't know, but you have." So we had a lot of forgiveness. And that's what this past life concept can help with. We had a lot of forgiveness to talk about and to be part of, and it was exciting for the reuniting of our son in the spirit.
That's amazing. That is really cool.
And she saw right off, you're the man I love.
Wasn't that a bizarre statement?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, you know, wow.
But I set the intent with the past life wife concept. I set the intent
sure.
that my wife, the female, would recognize me. And that way I wouldn't look like I'm trying to pick a woman up I'm using a pickup line. So they recognize me. And when they do, it's startling.
Sure. Well, and now, is that what you mean when you initially were talking about it would be that the wives were the easier of perhaps other choices, other directions?
Concerning forgiveness?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, in the very beginning you had talked that would you felt that exploring past wives would be perhaps your easiest or your best.
Oh yes.
And was it easiest because you were having them reach to you? That's what I'm asking, I guess.
Yes and no, but yes. But the concept of it's for me. It seems easier to forgive someone that you're incredibly in love with, or you feel that love from another lifetime. You feel that
sure.
love, and I did, and I feel all that love, and they did too.
I see. Okay.
But there's
sure.
but there's something in the entanglement of our lives and our energy and our relationship and the love for each other. There's something in that entanglement that is a karmic thing and can be carried and can be baggage.
Sure.
Other
yeah,
lifetimes.
It sounds like there was trauma in every one of your previous lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it also sounds like a moment for me to take a break. I don't know if we have anyone listening live anywhere in the world, but if you are listening and would like to speak with Robert, we've got about 15 minutes left in the show. Our number is 516-418-5651. We'll be right back.
Give us a call. Give us a call.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
And we are back. We have barely 15 minutes left with Gene and Robert and all of Robert's wives. You know, it's interesting because I know someone who's been married multiple times, not Zsa Zsa Gabor, but someone closer to my family. And the wives you're talking about, Robert, are from not this lifetime, but previous lifetimes. And it's been fascinating. I'm totally digging it. If anybody wants to call in, the number is 516-418-5651. I'm back to you, Gene.
Well, hey, yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about this. It's so fascinating, and of course, a lot of it is very new to me. The concept, the reversing, especially, and if you could maybe tell me a little bit more. I mean, the more you tell me, the more fascinated I am.
Well, I was about to talk about communicating with trees. Can we go there a minute?
Oh, please.
Yes.
Let's do. I'm definitely interested in that.
Okay. On a solitary hike along Oak Creek, on a day that I was wearing a pair of tennis shoes, not normal hiking boots, I dashed off in the early morning down a dirt road, a single lane dirt road, from where I lived in the bottom of Oak Creek Canyon, about 4 miles north of Sedona, off of 89A that heads to Flagstaff. And I was about a mile and a half from Indian Gardens Cafe, which is a small little where the hummingbirds come down to your table. But I was interested in dashing up there for a cup of coffee first thing in the morning. And I was in a pair of tennis shoes. On the way back, hiking back to my home after my coffee and a bit of breakfast, hiking on the dirt road with tennis shoes, a tree stops me for a message.
I want to know how that happens.
I look up the mountain, way up, and I'm looking at the tree. And I say to the tree, I raise my hands and I up in the air and I go, really? I said, I'm in tennis shoes. I can't get up there. And the tree says, it's important. You'll be fine. And I said to the tree, no, I'm not going up the mountain with tennis shoes on. And I stand there for a while and I survey the situation and I look at it and I'm thinking, maybe I can get up there without getting hurt. So I give it a try, and I did. I got up there, up to the tree, and I put my head, my forehead, up against the tree. The tree asked me to stop trapping the mice in my attic.
What?
The tree knew that I had been directing my energy towards the mice that made a lot of racket at night in my attic.
Yeah.
I had made many attempts for weeks to psychically guide the unwanted pests off the property without success. As I had my forehead still up against the tree,
mm-hmm.
I saw a movement in my peripheral vision about 15 feet to the right of me. A small mouse was headed my way.
Wow.
Now I probably deserve to be bitten, sure enough, this small mouse hopped over the toe of my tennis shoe and went into a small hole between my feet into the exposed roots of the tree.
Wow.
As I climbed down the mountain, I noted that the message was certainly worth the climb.
Sure. Wow.
So I got a scolding from the tree about trapping mice in my attic.
That's amazing.
But did you ever get rid of the mice?
Yes.
Oh, good.
How?
You know, one thing I don't appreciate is I don't appreciate mice in my cast skillets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was wintertime, and they were getting in out of the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And in old homes and old they chew holes and everything and get in out of the cold.
Sure. Well, I know I've had my share of rodent issues, and I'll tell you, I tried a lot of different things, and the last time I had basically it was a rat in my house. I used my electric guitar in the middle of the night. I turned it up really loud, lots of reverb and gain, and it made a sound that wasn't very good for the the mouse or rat, whatever, didn't like it, and I let it play, and I never heard from them again. And I think they must have told their friends, because, yeah, after dealing with them over the years, and that was 5 years, never heard from them again. So I will say, if that's ever a need, you know, an electric guitar with lots of screech, might give it a try. It did work.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I love that.
Well, I didn't really want to hurt them, and, you know, they wouldn't go away, so, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I tried to do it psychically and in my heart. For some reason, I haven't been successful with rodents.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your heart, animals treat you differently, and that was part of the training that Drenbelow Mekizeldek taught a class called Illumination of the Heart. And when I first read his book, Living in the Heart, I was living in Altamont, and I was along the shore of Lake Brantley. And I laid the book down and went into the spring-fed lake, Lake Brantley, to cool off. And I was surrounded by largemouth bass, head to toe, all the way around me, out about 4 feet. So there were more than a dozen bass, head to toe. It was most amazing concept. It was incredible. And I was in the water up to my neck, standing. But one of the bass broke ranks and laid down in between my feet on the bottom, sideways, with his eye looking up at me. And I leaned down in the water to touch the bass to see if it would allow me to touch it. And sure enough, that bass was volunteering to be my meal if I desired. If I so desired.
Wow.
Now, that concept I used as an American Indian and fed half of a tribe on several different occasions with what they thought was my hunting abilities. And in fact, it was just me getting into my heart, and the animals would volunteer. It was an honor to volunteer to be your meal.
Oh.
If you're in your heart.
Sure. So I know that in a lot of Native American spiritual ideas that was a big part of thanking the spirit of the animal for the nourishment and the life that it's giving. Whenever they did take the life of the hunted.
Yes.
Certainly.
Kind of something we've gotten away from a little bit here.
I haven't mentioned the fairies yet, the elementals.
No, I want to get that in.
Please.
I want to get that in. On another hike with Francis from Sydney, Australia, along Oak Creek, I first heard and then saw fairies. Now, I want to interrupt my story with a story. When I first got into Sedona, I was looking for a place to live. I had moved there in 2015, and I was looking for a place to live, and I was excited that there was a possibility of living in the bottom of Oak Creek, along the creek, and I was a couple of hours early because I wanted to explore the area, so I was heading up 89A towards Flagstaff out of Sedona, about 3 or 4 miles out of Sedona, and there was this incredibly loud music going on, and it's not quite daylight. And I have the windows of my Suburban down, and I'm hanging out the window, enjoying the cool morning, and I'm thinking, who is this? What is that? What is that sound? What is that noise? And I got closer and closer and closer and closer to the Indian Garden Cafe again. And I had never been there. And I pull up off the highway, and there's a young lady with a garden hose watering the flowers, and she's in bare feet in a halter dress, and it's not light yet, and I pull over and I get out of my Suburban and I walk up to her, and she's watering the flowers, and I said, is that the flowers or is that the fairies that are going crazy? And she said, oh, you can hear that too? She said, oh, when I water the flowers in the morning, they go nuts. She said, it's fun. Then, now back to the hike with Francis. I first heard and then spotted fairies. A group of six fairies were playing on a picnic table. I stopped in my tracks and looked the direction of their singing and giggling. One of the fairies pointed at me and stated to the others, oh, look, he can see us. Then they really started to sing and dance and point.
Oh, I love it.
So they're showing off. That's awesome.
Yeah, they were excited that I could see them. Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, if you walk into a room full of humans, we'll just say, and nobody looks at you, they just ignore you. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be really nice to have people go, hey, I know you. And you've had that, Robert, in your lifetime where you're looking for an empty seat and a woman walks up and says, oh, by the way, I used to be your wife.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's kind of the same thing. You know, these other elementals and the trees. I was telling Gene before the show, we were on the phone a little bit. I go over to Jennifer's house, and you know Jennifer, Robert. You've met her. She's got the purpley hair. She has a mango tree in her yard that we love to go out there and hug that tree. And one day we were hugging the tree and Jennifer said, why don't you ask this tree why blah, 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 something. I forget what it was. So I said, okay, hold on a minute. And I just asked the tree the question and he gave me the answer. And Jennifer says, why doesn't he ever talk to me? I said, I don't know. So we talked a little bit more. And I asked the tree some impertinent question. And Jennifer said, why would you ask him that? I said, wait till you hear the answer he just gave me. And the answer was, because you're not my person. I'm like, I don't believe this. But there's a tree that I like to go to in the Atlantic. He told me his name was Abraham. And it's so very cool to talk to these trees and have them talk back to us. It's like, yeah, I see you and you see me and we can talk.
Nice. Well, I've sure got a tree I'm just trying to talk to here very, very shortly. I hadn't really done that. I'm close to the tree. I mean, we spend time together, you know, appreciate each other, I think.
We think that we can't talk to these. Just my niece married a man from another country, and neither one of them spoke the other's language. And I asked her one day, I said, how does that work? She goes, oh, it's easy. We spoke a different kind of language, Aunt Mary. I'm like, well, all righty then.
Wow.
Guess what time it is, folks?
Oh, it is. Oh, wow.
It is. Well, 10 o'clock. Our show was, I feel like you guys just answered, you know, just logged in and called in, and I clicked the little button that said hi. We just got started.
Fascinating.
And I have a feeling, Robert, I think we could have you back on the show again, and you would have more stories to share.
Many stories.
I'd sure like to see that happen myself, yes. Definitely.
Well, at the end of the show, I will email Robert and give you some idea of what we've got to work with. I will tell you, we're booked through March of 2021. I told somebody one day that we were booked through March and didn't add the year on it. So she said, oh, well, then I'd love to book my show in June or whatever. I'm like, no, March of 2021. We're booked way in advance.
Yeah.
And that's every Thursday night. People are listening to us in 33 different countries. And next week, I've already announced her, I think, 3 times, but next week, really and truly, we get to talk to a prophetess, Angie Williams. And then on, not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday after, Anna will be back on Tuesday night with her I Am Here show, which is always exciting.
Excellent, yes.
So
she
Robert
is a conversation starter.
Yes, she is. She is quite a little pistol. She really is.
And Robert,
I'll send you an email. And we'll talk about when you can come back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And
you are delighted.
Such a pleasure.
If anybody's listening and would like to sponsor shows like this, give me a call or an email, mary@beunique.org. Give me a call at 321-417-4309 or visit beunique.org and find our contact, because we have so far interviewed 74 people just since November of last year and have just kept on bringing in more and more exciting people.
And if the date keeps getting out there too far, we'll just have to start another show.
We are. I think we're going to have one show with Gene will host one. I'll host one. Anna's already hosting one. We might get Franklin or Donnie to host a different show. Who knows what we'll do?
Sure. Who knows? Yeah. This is going to be good. Great.
We get a few more sponsors to help us. We can upgrade and we can have a show every night of the week or every day. And we've already interviewed people from Australia and England. I have one guy scheduled who's in Scotland, and I pray I can understand him. I've talked to a few Scottish people. I've talked to a few Scottish people in my lifetime, and there are some interesting blokes to talk to, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I'm going to press this little button and tell everybody good night. Oh, no, I can't do that. Oh. We have not had our parting words.
Oh, my, yes. Well, I just want to say, everybody, please have fun. That's what I want to say for parting.
I think I'm changing mine up a little bit tonight. I'm going to say open your mind, open your heart, and be childlike. Because if I can do the things that Robert has done and talk to the people that he's talked to or – you know, in relation to my own life, I'm all for being open-headed and open-hearted and open-minded.
Absolutely.
Robert, do you have any parting words?
I agree with Gene. Let's have fun.
Party, 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 party.
Excellent. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's beunique.org.